It's Mr. Carrington, sir. He says he won't go on. Not without you increase his salary by half a guinea.
Half a guinea? When I was his age, I was lucky to earn one guinea a week, let alone... what do we pay him?
Eight, sir.
Eight? Deduct 10 shillings. It's far too much.
Well, he means it, sir. Look, I think... Oh, that's him now, sir.
Come.
Sir Charles, a few words.
Not a penny more.
But, sir...
Not a farthing.
7 children to support and the wife expected.
No.
No dinner for 2 days? Then reluctantly, Sir Charles, very reluctantly.
Perhaps Sir Charles might see his way to consider it during a performance, which is due to start in less than 1 minute.
Yeah, well, perhaps. See me afterwards.
Carrington, sir. Thank you, sir.
Impudent bounder. So, it's London Assurance this evening.
Indeed, sir. Mr. Boucicault's a very lively playwright.
Yeah, Mr. Daniel Mass is engaged to give his Sahar course. Oh, that's excellent.
The ever-popular Mrs. Elizabeth Spriggs is Lady Gay Spanker, and Miss Samantha Bond as Grace Harkawake. Oh, making quite a name for herself, that young lady.
It should be interesting to see her playing opposite young Rhys Dinsdale as Charles Courtley. Talented fellow. And did you engage Mr. Jeremy Northam as Dazzle?
I did, sir. Cost a pretty penny, but he's worth it.
Oh, well, we give him quality.
Good to see Mr. Daneman and Mr. Peacock back, sir. The regulars always like him.
Well, come on, Herdman.
Yes, sir.
I'm to my box. Still get a flutter when I hear the overture.
Smell of the grease paint, eh, sir?
That's it. Now... let's see them earn their money.
Half past nine, and Mr. Charles has not yet returned. I'm in a fever of dread. If his father happened to rise earlier than usual on any morning, he's sure to ask first for Mr. Charles. Poor deluded old gentleman. He little thinks how he is deceived. Well, Martin, he's not come home yet.
No. And I've not had a wink of sleep all night. This is the 5th night Mr. Crawley has remained out, and I'm obliged to stand at the hall window and watch for him.
You know, if Sir Harcourt is aware that we connived at his son's irregularities, we should all be discharged.
I've used up all my common excuses on his creditors. Call again, not at home. And Mr. Crust, the wine merchant, swears he will be paid.
Yeah, so they all say. There he is, just in time. Quick, Martin, for I expect Sir Harcourt's bell every moment.
I go.
And there it is. Thank heaven he will return to college tomorrow and his heavy responsibility will be taken off my shoulders.
Hello!
Please, hello!
Hush, 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 hush. What are you about? Howling like a Hottentot. Look, sit down there. And thank heaven you're in Belgrave Square and not Bow Street.
Damn Bow Street.
Oh, with all my heart.
You've not seen as much of it as I have.
I say, let me see, what have I here? There, dammy. I'll puzzle the tuppenny postman. I'll deprive them of their right of disturbing the neighbourhood. That black lion's head knocker did belong to old Vampire, the moneylender. This bell pull to Miss Stitch, the milliner. Come into my room and I'll astonish you with some burgundy.
Mr. Charles.
Out! Out! Not at home to anyone.
And drunk.
As a lord. This is Cool, sir. Mr. Cool. He's the best liar in London.
Why, Mr. Charles, where did you pick him up?
You mistake. He picked me up.
There's Sir Harcourt. Pray do not let him see you in this state.
State? What do you mean? I'm in a beautiful state.
Your father would discharge me.
Cool? My dad is an old ass.
Retire to your own room, for heaven's sake, Mr. Charles.
I'll do so for my own sake. I say, old fellow, just hold the door steady while I go in.
In here. Take care.
Cool. Is breakfast ready?
Quite ready, Sir Harcourt.
Apropos, I omitted to mention that I expect Squire Harkaway to join us this morning, and you must prepare for my departure to Oak Hall immediately.
Leave town in the middle of the season, Sir Harcourt? So unprecedented a proceeding.
It is. I confess it. There is but one power could effect such a miracle. That is divinity.
How?
In female form, of course. Cool, I am about to present society with a second Lady Courtley. Young, blushing 18. Lovely, I have her portrait. Rich, I have her banker's account. An heiress and a Venus.
Might I ask who the fortunate lady is?
Certainly. Miss Grace Harkaway, the niece of my old friend Max.
Have you never seen the lady, sir?
Never. That is, yes, 8 years ago. Having been, as you know, on the continent for the last 7 years, I have not had the opportunity of paying my devoir. Our connection and betrothal was a very extraordinary one. Her father's estates were contiguous to mine, his great desire being to unite the two properties under my title. About 7 years ago, he died, leaving Grace, a girl, to the guardianship of her uncle, with this peculiar will. If, on attaining the age of 19, she would consent to marry me, I should receive those deeds and all his property as her dowry. If she refused to comply with this condition, they should revert to my heir presumptive or apparent. She consents.
Who should not?
I consent to receive her £15,000 a year.
Who would not?
So prepare, Cool, prepare. But where is my boy? Where is Charles?
Why, he's gone out, Sir Harcourt. Yes, he's gone out to take a walk.
Poor child, a perfect child in heart, a sober, placid mind, kept fresh and unsullied by any contact with society. Tell me, Cool, at what time was he in bed last night?
9:30, Sir Harcourt.
9:30! Beautiful! What an original idea! Reposing in cherub slumbers while all around him teems with drinking and debauchery.
Oh, Sir Harcourt.
No brandy and water, Bibi.
Doesn't know the taste of anything stronger than barley water.
No night parading.
Never heard the clock strike 12. Except at noon.
In fact, he is my son and came a gentleman by right of paternity. He inherited my manners.
Squire Harkaway.
Cool, you may retire.
Sir Harcourt, I'm devilish glad to see you. Give me a fist. Dang it, let me see. 6 or 7 years or more since we've met.
Max, give me your hand, old boy.
Why, you're looking very rosy.
Rosy? Am I too florid?
Not a bit. Not a bit.
I thought so. Cool said I had put too much on.
How comes it, Cockley, that you managed to retain your youth? You see, I'm as grey as an old badger, while you're as black as a young rook. I say, whose head grew your hair,
Permit me to remark that all the beauties of my person are of home manufacture. Why should you be surprised at my youth? I have scarcely thrown off the giddiness of a very boy. Elasticity of limb, buoyance of soul. Remark, my position here. Yeah. I have the limbs of Apollo. And only recently, Lady Sarah Sarcasm, pointing to my face, ejaculated, "Good gracious, does not Sir Harcourt remind you of the countenance of Ajax in the Pompeian portrait?"
Damn silly woman.
You are complimentary.
I'm a plain man, and I always speak my mind. What's in a face or a figure? Does a Grecian nose entail a good temper? Does a waspish waist indicate a good heart? Or do oily, perfumed locks necessarily thatch a well-furnished brain?
It's an undeniable fact. Plain people always praise the beauties of the mind.
Well, you are a living libel on common sense. You are old enough to know better.
Old enough? What do you mean, old? I have not sown my wild oats yet.
Last time you did, at 63.
63? Good God! 40, upon my life, 40, next March.
You are older than I am.
Oh, you are old enough to be my father.
Well, if I am, that's etiquette, I suppose. I must tell poor Grace about etiquette. She was expecting a wheezing antique for husband. Now etiquette gives her an Ajax and Apollo all rolled into one.
Well, so it does. And if she's the sensible girl I take her for, I expect her to embrace her good fortune with both arms. For without me, she is penniless. And so am I.
That's true. But why do you not introduce your son Charles to me? I've not seen him since he was a child.
He is not fit to enter society yet. He is a studious, sober boy.
Boy? He's 25.
Good gracious, Max! You will permit me to know my own son's age. He is not 20.
I am dumb.
You will excuse me while I indulge in the process of dressing. Cool.
Sir?
Prepare my toilet.
Yes, sir.
That is a ceremony which, with me, supersedes all others. I consider it a duty which every gentleman owes to society, to render himself as agreeable an object as possible. And so, a bientôt!
40 years of age. Oh, monstrous. But he does look uncommonly young for 60, in spite of his foreign locks and complexion. Who's this? Oh, must be Charles.
Who's my friend with the stick and gaiters, I wonder? One of the family?
There you are, my boy. Your father's just left me.
Has he? He's been dead these 10 years.
I expect him down on a visit.
The devil you do. Oh, I see. He thinks I'm young Courtly.
The honour you would confer upon me, I must unwillingly disclaim. I am not Mr. Courtly.
Oh, I beg pardon. a friend, I suppose.
Oh, a most intimate friend. A friend of years, distantly related to the family. One of my ancestors married one of his.
Adam and Eve.
This appears a dashing kind of fella. As he's a friend of Sir Harcourt's, I'll invite him to the wedding. Sir, if you are not otherwise engaged, I shall feel honoured by your company at my house. Oak Hall, Sydenham.
Your name is?
Harkaway. Max Harkaway.
Richard Dazzle.
Dazzle, yes.
Harkaway, let me see. I ought to be related to the Harkaways somehow.
A wedding is about to come off. Will you take part on the occasion?
With pleasure. Any part but that of the husband.
Have you good shooting?
Shooting? Why, there's no shooting at this time of year.
Isn't there? Oh, I'm in no hurry. I can stay till the season, of course. I was only speaking precautionally. You have good shooting.
The best in the country.
Say no more. I'm your man. Wait till you see how I'll murder your preserves.
Do you ride?
Anything. Everything. From a blood to a broomstick.
You give me the yelping of a pack of hounds before the shuffling of a pack of cards. What state can match the chase in full cry? Time is outrun, and nature seems to grudge our bliss by making the days so short.
No, for then uprises my great idol.
Who's that?
The bottle.
Ah.
Wine and love are the only two indescribable things in nature. But I prefer the wine because its consequences are more easily got rid of.
How so?
Love ends in matrimony. Wine in soda water.
Well, I can promise you as fine a bottle as ever was cracked.
Oh, never mind the bottle. Give me the wine.
I foresee some happy days.
And I some glorious nights.
It mustn't be a flying visit.
Oh, I despise the word. I'll stop a month or two.
Or a year or two.
I'll live and die with you.
Remember, Max Harkaway, Oak Hall, Sydenham.
Oh, I'll remember. Fare you well. I say, hello, tally-ho!
Yo!
Tally-ho!
There I am, quartered for a couple of years at the least. The old boy wants somebody to ride his horses, shoot his game, and keep a restraint on the morals of the parish. I'm eligible. What a lucky accident to meet young Courtly last night. Who could have thought it? Yesterday I could not be sure of dinner, except I stole it. Today I can flirt with a banquet.
What infernal row was that? Why, are you here still?
Yes. Richard Dazzle, late of the unattached volunteers, vulgarly entitled the Dirty Buff.
Then, Mr. Richard Dazzle, I have the honour of wishing you a very good morning. Oh. Martin, show this gentleman the door.
Yes, sir.
If he does, I'll kick Martin out of it. No offence. Now, sir, permit me to place a dioramic view of your conduct before you. After bringing you safely home this morning, indulgently waiting whenever you took a passing fancy to a knocker or bell pull, you would kick me into the street like a mangy cur. And that's what you call gratitude. Now, to show you how superior I am to petty malice, I give you an unlimited invitation to my house, my country house, to remain as long as you please.
Your house?
Oak Hall, Sydenham. Fine old place. For further particulars, see the road book.
Sir, permit me to hesitate a moment.
Mr. Charles, Sir Harcourt's toilet is reaching its height. He's bound to ask for you presently. Will you kindly change your trousers?
Wait, let me see. I go back to Oxford tomorrow, so I shall not be missed here. No. Tradesmen begin to clamour, and there's a vixen in Curzon Street.
Mr. Solomon Isaacs is in the hall and swears he will remain until he's arrested you.
Damn me, that's awkward.
One of many, if I may say so.
What would you do in my shoes, Cool?
In your shoes, sir, in your shoes, I should find a friend with a castle and a moat and go into exile.
Coming, sir!
You want my advice? Through the stables, down the mews, take a room at the Bull and wait. I'll send your things off.
God bless you, Cool.
And Mr. Isaacs,
Tell Mr. Isaacs to go jump in the river.
But quietly.
Mr. Dazzle, in reply to your most generous and kind invitation, I shall feel delighted to accept it.
Splendid!
How I long to see what kind of man Sir Harcourt Courtly is. They say he's 60.
Well, Peg, any sign of the squire yet?
Oh, no, Miss Grace, but James has gone to watch the road.
In my uncle's letter, he mentions the Mr. Dazzle whom he has invited, so you must prepare a room for him.
Yes, miss.
Oh, apropos, I must not forget to have a flower for the dear old man when he arrives.
The dear old man? Do you mean Sir Harcourt?
Lord, no. My uncle, of course. Oh. Sir Harcourt has yet to prove himself.
Isn't it odd, miss? You've never seen your intended, though you've been so long betrothed.
Not at all. Marriage matters are conducted nowadays in a most mercantile manner.
Well, miss, for my own part, I like to look at my article before I buy it. It's the only way to be sure of a bargain. But what would you think if he were not quite so old?
I should think he was a little younger.
Well, I should like him all the better young.
That wouldn't I. A young husband might expect affection and nonsense, which 'twould be deceit in me to render. Nor would he permit me to remain with my uncle. Sir Harcourt takes me with the encumbrances on his estate, and I shall beg to be left among the rest of the livestock.
Oh, you were never in love, miss.
I never was, nor will be, till I am tired of myself and common sense.
Two gentlemen, Miss Grace, have just alighted.
Oh, very well, James. Tell the grooms.
Yes, miss.
Do you feel nothing stirring, miss?
I feel the wind on my cheek, the stinging nettle at my ankle, and the scent of flowers round my nose. What more should I feel? Now we have things to attend to. Come, Perch.
That's books for you. Strap me. Oh, here comes Mr. Meddle, that eavesdropping toad of a lawyer. At the gallop, too. Now, what brings him here?
Perch, come quickly, please.
Oh, bother. Yes, miss, I'm a-coming.
I have secured the only newspaper in the village. My character as an attorney at law depended on the monopoly of its information. I took it up by chance when this paragraph met my astonished view. We understand that the contract of marriage, so long in abeyance on account of the lady's minority, is about to be celebrated at Oak Hall, Sydenham, the magnificent mansion of Maximilian Harkway, Esquire, between Sir Harcourt Courtly, baronet of fashionable celebrity, and Miss Grace Harkaway, niece to the said Mr. Harkaway. Is it possible? I seldom swear, except in a witness box. But damn me, if it be known in the village, my reputation will be lost if I don't get myself the drawing up of the contract. Here is Mrs. Pert. I'll cross-examine her. Ah, Mrs. Pert, good morning. Permit me to say, and my word as a legal character is not unduly considered, I venture to affirm that you look a... Have you read the paper, madam?
No.
Floods in Norfolk, Her Majesty gone mad again, and vulgar disorders at Lambeth Palace.
Vulgar? You talk of vulgarity to me. You who sneak about like a pig, snouting out the dust hole of society and feeding upon the bad ends of vice. You, you miserable specimen of a bad 6 and 8 pence.
But, Mrs. Pert...
Don't but me, sir. I won't be butted by any such old ram.
This is slander. An action will lie. Not much information elicited from that witness.
Come along this way.
Oh, whom have we here? Visitors? I'll address them.
Who's this, I wonder? One of the family? I must pretend to know him.
Ah, how are you?
quite well. Just arrived? Might I request the honour of knowing whom I address?
Richard Dazzle, Esquire. And you?
Mark Meddle, attorney at law.
Ah, Courtly, what detained you?
My dear fellow, I have just seen such a woman.
Permit me to introduce you to my very old friend, Meddle. He's a capital fellow.
I feel honoured. Who is your friend?
He, Augustus Hamilton.
How do you do? There she is again. Over there.
The divine Miss Grace.
Of course, the divine Miss Grace.
I'll go and introduce myself.
What are you about? Would you insult my old friend Puddle by running away? I say Puddle, just show my friend the lions while I say how do you do to my young friend Miss Grace.
Oak Hall, sir, earns a place in the Doomsday Book. Though a little of that ancient structure remains, except a wall of the pigsty, which is of Saxon origin.
She's gone. Oh, are you here still, Mr. Thingamy-Puddle?
Meddle, sir. Meddle in the list of attorneys.
Well, Muddle or Puddle or whoever you are a bore.
How excessively odd. Miss Pert said I was a pig, now I'm a bore. I wonder what they'll make of me next.
Mr. Thingamy, will you take a word of advice?
Feel honored.
Get out.
I don't understand.
Delighted to quicken your apprehension. You are an ass, Puddle.
Another quadruped. Yes, beautiful. I wish he'd call me something libelous, but that will be too much to expect. Anything else?
A miserable, pettifogging scoundrel.
Good.
What do you mean by laughing at me?
Excellent, delicious.
Mr.
Meddle.
Are you ambitious of a kicking?
Oh, very, very. Go on, kick.
Here
go on.
Comes. I'll speak to her.
But, sir.
No, go to the devil.
Well, there's a chance lost. Gone. I have no hesitation in saying that in another minute I should have been kicked. Literally kicked. A legal luxury. Costs, damages. They are coming this way. Mr. Hamilton in close conversation with Lady Courtly that is to be. Now, let me see. Courtly versus Hamilton. Damages, problematical. Meddle chief witness for plaintiff. Guinea a day. Professional man. I'll take down their conversation. Verbatim. From behind this tree.
Perhaps you would follow your friend into the dining room. Refreshment after your long journey must be requisite.
Pardon me, madam, but the lovely garden and the loveliness before me is better refreshment than I could procure in any dining room.
Your company and compliments arrive together. Pardon me. May I request that you commence your visit with this piece of information? I consider compliments impertinent and sweetmeat language fulsome.
I would condemn my tongue to a Pythagorean silence if I thought it could attempt to flatter.
It strikes me, sir, that you are a stray bee from the hive of fashion. If so, reserve your honey for its proper cell. You have just arrived from town, I apprehend.
This moment I left mighty London, groaning with the noisy pulse of wealth and the giddy whirl of fashion. Enchanting, busy London. How have I prevailed on myself to desert you? Next week the new ballet comes out. The week after comes Ascot. Oh!
It must hurt to think about it.
Torture. Can you inform me how you managed to avoid suicide here? If there was but an opera, even within 20 miles. You couldn't get up a rustic ballet among the village girls, no? Huh?
I am afraid you would find that difficult. How I contrive to support life, I don't know. It is wonderful, but I have not precisely contemplated suicide yet. Nor do I miss the opera.
How can you manage to kill time?
Oh, I have many employments. This week I devote to study and various amusements. Next week to being married. The following week to repentance, perhaps.
Married? Might I ask to whom?
A gentleman who has been strongly recommended to me for the situation of husband.
Recommended? Would you not consider it advisable to see him first?
See him? No, sir. I might be led to dispute the conditions of the sale.
Sale? No. That will be degrading civilization into a Turkish barbarity.
Worse, sir. A great deal worse. For every London ballroom is a marriage mart. Young ladies are trotted out while the parent plays auctioneer and knocks them down to the highest bidder. Young men are ticketed up with their fortunes on their backs. And love, turned into a dapper showman, descants on the excellent qualities of the material.
You seem to laugh at love.
Love? When I'm in love, I write a penny almanac for lovesick ladies. How to prognosticate the sighing season, when to beware of tears. Why should I hazard my life upon the bare security of a man's word?
They're here, madam. Oh, madam, they're here.
My intended, I suppose. Thank you, Pert. I am coming. I must leave you, sir. I hope the country air will not fatigue you.
What an enchanting little devil. Hang me if I can understand her. She is evidently not used to society. Huh! She said she was about to marry, but I rather imagine she was in jest. Upon my life, I feel very queer at the contemplation of it. Ah, here comes Muddle. Perhaps this booby can inform me something about her. Now, Muddle, about Miss Grace.
Miss Grace is about to be married. Is it possible? Certainly. If I have the drawing out of the deed...
To whom?
Yes. I dare say, information being scarce in the market, this should be worth 6 and 8 months.
Married? Married? Oh, bah! Get out of my way. I'll run and ascertain the truth of this from Dazzle.
It's of no use. He either dare not kick me, or he can't afford it. In either case, he is beneath my notice. Who comes here? Can it be Sir Harcourt Courtly himself? It can be no other. Sir, I have the honour to bid you welcome to Oak Hall and the village of Sinningham.
Excessively polite.
Sir, thank you.
The township contains 2,000 inhabitants.
Does it? I'm delighted to hear it.
Oh, I can charge him for that. 6 and 8 pence is not much, but it is a beginning. If you will permit me, I can inform you of the different commodities for which it is famous.
Oh, much obliged, but here comes Sir Harcourt Courtly, my master, and Mr. Harkaway. Any other time, I shall feel delighted.
Oh, damn. Mistook the man for the master.
Well, tell me, Sir Harcourt, what did you think of me park as we came along?
This would never come to an end. You said it was only a stone's throw from your infernal lodge to the house. Why, it's 10 miles at least, and all of it upward.
I'll do it in 10 minutes, any day.
Yes, in a steam carriage. Cool perfume on my handkerchief.
Don't do it. Perfume in the country? Why, it's a slap in the very face of nature. She's introducing the robbed to the robber. Here are the sweets from which your fulsome essences are pilfered and libelled with their names. Don't insult them, too. Medal, how are you? This is, Lawyer Medal.
Oh, Sir Court Courtly, I have the honour to congratulate. Happy occasion approaches.
Cool. Is this rhapsody addressed towards me?
I believe so, Sir Harcourt.
The law presents its compliments.
Very civil of it.
This is very good. Why, I did hope to have the honour of drawing out the deeds.
If the future Lady Courtly may be visible at so unfashionable an hour as this, I shall beg to be introduced.
Visible? Up since 6 this morning, I'll warrant it. Pat?
Yes, sir?
Miss Grace.
Aye, sir.
2 to 1, she's busy with dinner.
Dinner? Is it possible anyone should dine at 1:30 p.m.?
I rather prefer that hour to pick a little morsel.
Dear me, who was addressing you?
Oh, I beg pardon.
Now, prepare, Courtly. For though I say it, she is, with the exception of my bay mare, Kitty, the handsomest thing in the country. Full of blood, sound wind and limb, plenty of bone, sweet coat, in fine condition, with a thoroughbred step.
Dear me, don't compare her to a horse.
Well, I wouldn't. But she is almost as fine a creature. Close similarities.
Am I the thing?
Quite the thing, sir.
My dear uncle.
Ah, Grace, you little jade. Come here.
Oh, dear. She is a rural Venus. I'm astonished and delighted.
Won't you kiss your old uncle?
I should be sorry to curtail any little ebullition of affection, but may I be permitted?
Of course you may. There, Greece is Sir Harcourt, your husband it will be. Go to him, girl.
Permit me to do homage to the charms, the presence of which have placed me in sight of paradise. Come, let us take a turn around the garden.
Hello, old fellow. How are you?
I'm glad to see you. Are you comfortably quartered yet, Mr. Dazzle?
Splendidly quartered. Here, Hamilton.
Ah!
Permit me to introduce my friend, Augustus Hamilton.
Capital fellow, sir. Drinks like a sieve and rides like a thunderstorm.
Sir, I'm devilish glad to see you. Here, Sir Harcourt.
The devil? What's the matter? That's my governor, by Jupiter.
What, old Whiskers? You don't say so.
I do. What's to be done now? Here he comes.
Ah,
man. Permit me to introduce to you Mr. Hamilton. Sir Harcourt Courtly, Mr. Hamilton.
How do you do? Hamilton. Hamilton? Good gracious, why, Charles, is it possible? Why, Max, that's my son.
Your son,
Sir Harcourt? Have you a son as old as that gentleman?
No, well, that is, yes. Charles, why don't you answer me, sir?
What shall I say? Deny your identity.
Capital. What's the matter with you, sir?
Isn't your name Charles Courtly?
Not to my knowledge.
Do you mean to say that you are usually called Augustus Hamilton?
Lamentable fact and quite correct.
Cool. Is that my son?
No, sir, it is not Mr. Charles. That is very like him.
I cannot understand all this.
I think I can.
Give him a touch of the indignant.
Allow me to say, sir, what do you call him, cart horse Hartley?
The workhouse Hartley.
Hartley, sir.
Well, Hartley or Partley or whatever your name may be, I say your conduct is of a... And were it not for the presence of this lady, I should feel inclined to...
Do it. So you would kick him.
To punish your impertinence with a sound kicking. kicking.
No, that can't be my son. He never would address me in that way.
He will kick somebody after all.
What is all this?
Sir, your likeness to my son Charles is so astonishing.
Don't apologize. Don't bring an action. I'm witness.
Someone take this man away.
Luncheon is on the table, sir.
Miss Harkaway, I never swore before a lady in my life, except when I promised to love and cherish the late Lady Courtly. But I swear, if he were a year or two younger, that is my son.
A year or two makes all the difference. Will you come to luncheon, sir?
Luncheon.
Squire Harkaway, I have something very particular to communicate.
Can't listen at present.
I can afford you information, which I...
Oh,
think...
don't bother. Go to the devil.
Now, I have no hesitation in saying that is the height of ingratitude. Mr. Cool, can you oblige me?
Why? What is all this?
Small account versus you to giving information concerning the last census of the population of Sydenham and vicinity. 6 and 8 pence.
Oh, you mean to make me pay for this, do you?
But unconditionally.
Well, I have no objection. The charge is fair. But remember, I am a servant on board wages. Would you throw in a little advice gratis if I give you the money?
I will.
A fellow has insulted me. I want to abuse him. What terms are actionable?
Oh, you may call him anything you please, providing there are no witnesses.
Oh, may I? Then you meddle. Are a rascally, petty, fucking scoundrel.
Hello?
You mean, dirty disgrace to your profession?
Libel, slander.
Aye. But where are your witnesses?
Give me the cost, 6 and 8 pence.
I deny that you gave me information at all.
You do?
Yeah. And where are your witnesses? Good day, Meddle.
Ah, damn you. You Londoner.
Check. Really, Mr. Hamilton, you improve. After an acquaintanceship of 2 days, you sit down to teach me chess and domestic economy at the same time. Might I ask where you graduated in that science? Where you learned all that store of matrimonial advice which you have obliged me with?
I imbibed it, madam, from the moment I beheld you. And having studied my subject con amore, took my degrees from your eyes.
Oh,
I see you are a master of arts already.
Unfortunately, no. I shall remain a bachelor till you can assist me to that honour. Oh, damn. Dazzle?
Yes, Hamilton?
Sir Harcourt bears down upon us. Keep the old boy away. Trust me.
Ah, Sir Harcourt.
Is the conversation strictly confidential, or might I join?
No, not in the least, my dear sir. We were remarking that rifle shooting was an excellent diversion during the summer months.
My God, what in heaven's name was that?
There she goes! Across the lawn and a hand gallop! Here, all of you, look!
Bless me, the horse is running away.
Who is it? It's Lady Gay Spanker. Look how she takes that fence. Oh, there's a...
My gate, she's over.
Lady Gay Spanker. Oh, who may she be?
My cousin and dearest friend. You must like her.
It will be my devoir, since it is your wish, though it will be a hard task in your presence.
I am sure she will like you.
I flatter myself.
Mr. Adolphus and Lady Gay Spanker.
Come in, you mischievous puss.
Well, Governor, how are you? How are you, Christian? And there, Master. There's one for you. Gracious. I didn't see you had visitors.
Permit me to introduce Sir Harcourt Courtley, Mr. Dazzle, Mr. Hamilton, Lady Gay Spanker.
A devilish fine woman.
She's a devilish fine woman.
I'm so glad you've come, Sir Harcourt. Now we shall be able to make a decent figure at the heels of the hunt.
Does your ladyship hunt?
Hunt?
Oh, I say. Well, I rather flatter myself that I do hunt, yes. Why, Sir Harcourt, one might as well live without laughing as without hunting. Man was fashioned expressly to fit a horse. And are not hedges and ditches created for leaps? Of course. And I look upon foxes to be the most blessed dispensation of a benign providence.
Yes, it is all very well in the abstract. I tried it once.
Once? Only once?
And then the animal ran away with me.
You would not have him walk.
Finding my society disagreeable, he instituted a series of kicks with a view to removing the annoyance. But aided by the united stays of the mane and tail, I frustrated his intentions. His next resource, however, was more effectual, for he succeeded in rubbing me off against a tree.
How absurd you must have looked with your legs and arms in the air, like a shipwrecked tea table.
Sir, I never looked absurd in my life. But I warrant you, I shall never break my neck awkwardly from a horse when it might be accomplished with less trouble from a bedroom window.
My dad will be run to ground by this huntress.
You must leave your town habits and smoke of London. Here, we rise with the lark.
Haven't the remotest conception when that is.
Oh, I love to watch the first tear that glistens in the opening eye of morning. The silent song the flowers breathe. The thrilly choir of the woodland minstrels to which the modest brook trickles applause. These, swelling out the sweetest chord of sweet creation's matins, seem to pour some soft and merry tale into the daylight's ear, as if the waking world had dreamed a happy thing and now smiled o'er the telling of it.
Oh. Of a rustic education. Who could ever discover music in a damp, foggy morning? I never heard any music worth listening to, except in Italy.
No? Then you never heard a well-trained English pack, full cry.
Full cry?
There's harmony, if you will. Give me the trumpet neigh, the spotted pack just catching the scent, the yelp, the view halloo. Oh, what a chorus. That's our old English music. Match it where you can.
I must see about Lady Gay Spanker.
Ah, Sir Harcourt, had you been here a month ago?
There were 60 horses in the field, all mettled to the bone. The start was a picture. Away we went in a cloud, pell-mell, helter-skelter. The fools first, as usual, using themselves up. We soon passed them. First, your Kitty Max, then my Blueskin, and Craven's Colt last. Then came the tug. Kitty skimmed the walls, Blueskin flew the fences, the colt neck and neck, and half a mile to run. At last, the colt balked a leap and went wild. Kitty and I had it all to ourselves. She was 3 lengths ahead as we breasted the last wall. 6 feet of an inch, and a ditch on the other side. Now, for the first time, I gave Blueskin his head. Oh, away he flew like a thunderbolt. Over went the filly, I over the same spot, leaving Kitty in the ditch. Walked the steeple, 8 miles in 30 minutes. Scarcely turned a hair. Oh, horse, man, hound, earth, heaven, all one piece of glowing ecstasy. Then I love the world, myself, and every living thing. I could wish that all creation had but one mouth, that I might kiss it.
I wish I was the mouth.
But, Gay, where's your husband? Where's Adolphus? Hmm?
Bless me, where is my dolly?
You are married, then?
I have a husband somewhere. I can't find him just now. Dolly, dear! At home, I always whistle when I want him.
Did you call me, Gay?
Is that your husband?
Yes, bless his stupid face. That's my dolly.
Permit me to introduce you to Sir Harcourt Courtly.
How do you do?
Delighted to have the honour of making the acquaintance of a gentleman so highly celebrated in the world of fashion.
Oh, yes, delighted, I'm sure. Quite. Very. So delighted. Delighted.
Where have you been, Dolly?
I was just outside.
Why did you not come in?
I'm sure I didn't. I don't exactly know, but I thought as... perhaps... I can't remember.
He needs to put his feet up. He gets excited sitting in the carriage watching me take the fences.
Shall we have the pleasure of your company to dinner?
Stay dinner, of course. We came on purpose to stop 3 or 4 days, tell him.
Permit me, Lady Gay Spanker.
With pleasure. What do you want?
To show you the way.
Oh, I know the way, thank you.
We must postpone dinner till Mr. Spanker is rested, Uncle.
Nonsense, I never saw a man so spry and eager.
This way, Mr. Spanker.
Hold your ground, Spanker. I will be king in my own house.
And I'll be your Prime Minister. So I will rule and you shall have the honour of taking the consequences.
Go with grace, Dolly darling, and take your pumps off. I'll be along presently.
Come, Mr. Spanker.
Very well, ladies. Have your own way.
If that's understood, I'll dress for dinner.
Au revoir.
A bientôt.
What an ill-assorted pair.
Not a bit. She married him for freedom, and she has it. He married her for protection, and he has it.
How he ever summoned courage to propose to her, I can't guess.
Bless you. He didn't propose, she did. She said he would if he could, but as he couldn't, she did it for him. Come, let's to dinner.
Mr. Charles, I've been watching to find you alone. Sir Harcourt has written to you in town.
The devil he has.
He expects you here tomorrow evening.
The devil he does.
No, he'll be punctual. A thought strikes me. What if I can prevent her marriage with your governor?
Impossible.
He's pluming himself for the conquest of Lady Gay Spanker. It will not be difficult to make him believe she accedes to his suit. And if she would but join in the plan...
Do you think she would?
If she's the game bird I take her for, yes.
Here comes Sir Harcourt.
I'll begin with him. Retire. And watch how I'll open the campaign for you.
Over here. Very good. That's right.
Ah, my dear old friend.
Here is that cursed fellow again. Mr. Dazzle!
I have a secret of importance to disclose to you. It is with the greatest pain I am compelled to request you, as a gentleman, that you will shun studiously the society of Lady Gay Spanker.
Good gracious, what's it to do with you?
Why, I am distantly related to the Spankers.
Why, damn it, sir, you don't appear to be related to every family in Great Britain.
Well, a good many of the nobility claim me as a connection. But to return, she is much struck with your address. Evidently, she laid herself out for display.
You surprise me.
To entangle you.
Why, it did appear like it.
You will spare her for my sake. Give her no encouragement. If disgrace come upon my relatives, the Spankers, I should never hold up my head again.
I shall achieve an easy conquest.
May I rely on your generosity?
Faithfully. Sir, I honour and esteem you, but so that I may play the part you ask, pray warn me of this giddy vixen's tricks. For I am now the fox.
I will, sir. The library is close at hand. We won't be overheard.
Things are approaching to a climax. I must appear in propria persona, and immediately. But I must first ascertain what are the real sentiments of this riddle of a woman. Does she love me? I flatter myself. Ah, here she comes. I shall never have such an opportunity again.
I wish I had never seen Mr. Hamilton. Why does every object appear robbed of the charm it once presented to me? Why do I shudder at the contemplation of this marriage, which till now was to me a subject of indifference? Am I in love?
Meditating upon matrimony, madam?
He little thinks he was the subject of my meditations. No.
I must unmask my battery now.
Oh, how foolish I am. He will perceive that I tremble. I must appear at ease. How very awkward.
Madam? there was, is, I mean. I was about to remark. Why, I've made love before to 100 women.
I wish I had something to do, for I have nothing to say.
Madam, there is a subject so fraught with fate to my future life that you must pardon my lack of delicacy.
I know what's coming.
I forget all that befell before I saw your beauteous self.
He is in love.
I seem born into another world. My nature changed. The beams of that bright face falling on my soul have, from its chaos, warmed into life the flowerets of affection, pouring forth on their pure tongues a mite of adoration midst the voices of a universe.
That's something in her own style.
Mr. Hamilton.
You cannot feel surprised.
I am more than surprised. I am delighted. You have offended me.
No, madam. No woman, whatever her state, can be offended by the adoration, even of the meanest. But still, I ask your pardon.
Oh, he thinks I'm refusing him. I'm not exactly offended.
Consider my position. A few days and an insurmountable barrier would have placed you beyond my wildest hopes. You would have been my mother.
I should have been your mother?
I thought so.
Oh, no. That is, I meant Sir Harcourt Courtly's bride.
Never.
How, never? May I then hope? Huh? You turn away. You would not lacerate me by a refusal.
How stupid he is.
Still silent. I thank you, Miss Grace. One course alone remains. Farewell.
Oh, now he's going.
Farewell forever. Will you not speak word? I shall not see you again.
Unhand me, sir. I insist.
Unhand her? Would that I had a hand. Oh, what an ass I've been. Release this hand. Never, never, never will I quit this hand. It shall be my companion in misery and solitude when you are far away.
Oh, should anyone come?
I kneel and forever thus prostrate myself before my soul's saint.
Should we be discovered thus, pray, Mr. Hamilton. Pray, pray.
Pray? I am praying. What more can I do?
Your conduct is shameful.
It is.
And if I do not scream, it is not for your sake, but it might alarm the family.
Say, am I wholly indifferent to you? I entreat one word. Dare I chance her waste?
Leave me, dear Mr. Hamilton.
Dear? Then I am dear to you. That word once more, say you love me.
Is this fair?
Oh.
Gay! Destruction, release me! Oh, confusion! Oh!
Fizgig, the devil!
Don't mind me, pray. Don't let me be an interruption.
I was just...
Yes, I see you were.
Oh, madam, how could you mar my bliss in the very ecstasy of its fulfillment?
I always like to be in at the kill. Oh, don't drop your ears, bless you. She's only a little fresh. Give her a head and she'll outrun herself.
Possibly, but what am I to do?
Keep your seat.
And in a few days she will take a leap that must throw me. She marries Sir Harcourt Courtly.
Ah, now, that is awkward, certainly. But you can always challenge him, shoot him.
Unfortunately, that is out of the question.
How so?
You will not betray a secret if I inform you.
All right, what is it?
I am his son.
What? His son? Does he not know you?
No. I met him here by chance and swore I never saw him before in my life.
Beautiful. I see it all now. You're in love with your mother, that should be. Your wife, that will be.
Now, I think I could distance the old gentleman if you will but lend us your assistance.
Oh, I will, in anything.
You must know, then, that my father, Sir Harcourt, has fallen desperately in love with you.
With me? Oh, How delicious.
Now, if you only could...
Could? I will. Oh, I see my cue. I'll cross his scent and draw him after me. Oh, won't I make love to him?
No.
Oh, here they come to dinner. I'll commence my operations on your governor immediately. Oh, how I shall enjoy it.
The only objection might be Mr. Spanker, who might...
No, he mightn't. He's no objections. Bless him, he's an inestimable little man, my dolly. You don't know him as well as I do, I dare say.
Be guarded.
If there be one habit more abominable than another, it is that of the gentlemen sitting over their wine. It is a selfish, unfeeling fashion and a gross insult to our sex.
We're turned out just when the fun begins.
I'm afraid they're getting too pleasant to be agreeable.
I do hope the squire will contain himself. After his third bottle, he becomes rather expansive.
Mr. Emerson has just left the house for London.
Impossible! Without seeing me... that is...
Oh.
Speak, sir.
He left Miss Grace in a desperate hurry. And this note, I believe, for you.
For me? Excuse me, Gay.
Certainly.
Your manner during dinner has left me no alternative but instant departure. My absence may tend also to smother, though it can never extinguish, that indomitable passion of which I am the passive victim. From the self-deceived but still loving, Augustus Hamilton. Oh. Oh, dear.
I say, Grace, pull up.
'Tis nothing. The heat of the room, so very warm.
What excuse does he make? Unforeseen business, I suppose.
Well, yes, a mere formula. You may put it in the fire.
She puts it in her bosom, and that is near enough the fire.
I'm glad he's gone.
So am I.
He was a disagreeable, ignorant person.
Yes, and so vulgar.
No, he was not at all vulgar.
I meant in appearance.
Oh, how can you say so? He was very... distingué.
Well, I might have been mistaken, but I took him for a forward intrusive.
Good gracious, Gay. He was very retiring. Even shy.
It's all right, she is in love. Blows hot and cold in the same breath.
How can you be a competent judge when you have not known him for more than a few hours, while I...
have known him 2 days and a quarter. I yield, I confess. I never was or will be so intimate with him as you appear to be. Oh, what grace! Here come the hunters. Do look at my darling. He's arguing, talking politics upon my life, yes. He is. Mr. Spanker, my dear.
Excuse me, love. I am discussing a point of importance.
How do delicious, Dolly. Dolly, you've been imbibing.
Pardon me, Lady Gay Spanker. I conceive your mutilation of my sponsorial appellation derogatory to my amour propre.
What?
I particularly request that for the future I may not be treated with that cavalier spirit which does not become your sex nor your station, your ladyship.
Go and put your feet up, Dolly. You're not yourself.
Madam, I am doubly myself. I mean to put a full stop to your hunt.
You do? Oh, who put that idea into your head?
Sir Hartley Courtley, my friend. And now mark me, I request for your own sake that I may not be compelled to assert my authority as your husband. I shall say no more than this. If you persist in this absurd rebellion...
Well?
Contemplate... a separation.
Now I'm happy. My own darling, inestimable little Dolly has tumbled into a spirit somehow. Sir Harcourt, too. He's trying to make Dolly ill-treat me so that his own suit may thrive.
Lady Gay!
Now for it.
What hours of misery were those I passed when by your secession the room suffered a total eclipse?
Oh, you flatter.
Oh, no, pardon me, that were impossible. No, believe me, I tried to join in the boisterous mirth, but my thoughts would desert to the drawing room.
Mr. Charles Courtley.
Ah, now, Max, you must see a living apology for my conduct.
Oh.
Well, Charles, how are you?
Sir?
Don't be afraid. There, Max, what do you say now? So sober and so plainly attired.
Well, this is a most extraordinary likeness.
Yes, considering it is the original, I am not so easily deceived.
Sir, I am delighted to see you.
Thank you, sir.
Miss Harkaway... Charles, this is your mother. or rather will be.
Madam, I shall love, honour, and obey you punctually. Will you excuse me, sir, if I retire to read my book?
Oh.
You perceive, quite unused to society, perfectly ignorant of every conventional rule of life.
Mm. Mr. Jenks has arrived, sir, with his music.
Aha! ladies and gentlemen, now we must to the ball. I make it a rule always to commence the festivities with a good old country jig. Come, Sir Harker, nothing but a nimble foot and a light heart is required.
Sounds like a game of football. Lady Gaze. Penka, will you honor me by becoming my partner?
I am partnered already, but on such a plea as the Harcourt's, I must waive all obstacles.
Now, Grace, girl, give your hand to Miss Scotland.
Oh, pray excuse me, Uncle. I have a headache. Oh.
Jealousy by the gods. Charles, my boy, amuse Miss Grace during our absence.
Come along, all of you.
Oh, me.
What on earth could have induced him to dress himself in that frightful way? I rather suspect some plot to entrap me into a confession.
I must prove her affection indisputably. Let me see. I must concoct. Madam, I have been desired to amuse you.
Thank you.
I will draw you a moral. Subject, the effects of inebriety, which according to Ben Jonson means perplexion of the intellects, caused by imbibing spirituous liquors. About an hour before my arrival, I passed an appalling evidence of the effects of this state. A carriage was overthrown, horses killed, gentleman in a hopeless state with his neck broken, all occasioned by the intoxication of the postboy.
That is very amusing.
I found it edifying. The expiring man desired his best compliments to you.
To me?
Yes.
His name was?
Mr. Augustus Hamilton.
Augustus? Oh.
Oh, sir.
But where, sir, did this happen?
About 4 miles down the road.
He must be conveyed here.
Mr. Meddle, madam.
On very particular business.
The very person, my dear sir.
My dear madam.
You must execute a very particular commission for me immediately. Mr. Hamilton has met with a frightful accident on the London road and is in a dying state.
Well, I have no hesitation in saying he takes it uncommonly easy. He looks as if he was used to it.
Oh, you mistake. That is not Mr. Hamilton, but Mr. Courtley, who will explain everything and conduct you to the spot.
Oh, I must put a stop to all this, or I shall be found out. Madam, that were useless, for I omitted to mention a small fact which occurred before I left Mr. Hamilton. He died.
Oh, dear me. Oh, then we needn't trouble you, Mr. Meddle. Hark, I hear they are commencing a waltz. If you will ask me, perhaps your society and conversation may tend to dispel the dreadful sensation you have aroused.
Hears of my death, screams out, and then asks me to waltz. I'm bewildered. Can she suspect me? Confound this disguise. I must retain it. I've gone too far with my dad to pull up now. At your service, madam.
I will pay him well for this trick. Come, sir.
Well, well, well. Here's a Mr. Charles Courtley, alias Hamilton, and in the parlour of the Red Lion, who should sit but a Mr. Solomon Isaacs, asking round the company if the name Mr. Charles Courtley should be any way familiar. There's writs out for young Courtley. He's halfway to Newgate already. That information should be worth a guinea or two, one way or another, and... Stay. Here comes the bridegroom-elect, and, oh, in his very arms, Lady Gay Spanker. Where can I hide? Ah! This chair. I shall conceal myself behind its back and gather it for nature.
This cool room will recover you.
Oh, excuse my trusting you for support.
I am transported. Allow me thus ever to support this lovely burden, and I shall conceive that paradise is regained.
Oh, Sir Harcourt, I feel very faint.
The waltz made you giddy. Pray, join me on the settle.
And I've left my salts in the other room.
I always carry a flacon for the express accommodation of the fair sex.
Thank you.
What a sigh was there.
The vapor of consuming grief.
Grief? Is it possible? Have you a grief? Are you unhappy? Dear me.
Am I not married?
What a horrible state of existence.
I am never contradicted, so there are none of those enlivening little differences to break up the monotony of conjugal life, like palm trees in the desert. No vows.
How vulgar, what a brute.
I never have anything but my own way, and he won't permit me to spend more than I like.
Mean-spirited wretch.
But worse than all that.
Can there be worse?
Oh, yes. I could forgive that. I do. It is my duty. But only imagine, my dear Sir Harcourt, though I, the third daughter of an earl, married him out of pity for his destitute and helpless situation, as a bachelor with 10,000 a year, conceive, if you can, he actually permits me, with the most placid indifference, to flirt with any old fool I meet.
Good gracious, miserable idiot.
I fear there is an incompatibility of temper which renders a separation inevitable.
Indispensable, my dear madam. Had another man but looked at you, I should have annihilated him at once.
Dear Sir Harcourt, do not tempt me with joys I've missed.
My devotion, the eternal, deep.
Oh, Sir Harcourt.
If a life, a heart, were offered to your astonished view by one who is considered the index of fashion, the premiere of the beau monde, if you saw him at your feet begging, beseeching your acceptance of all and more than this, what would your answer?
Ah, oh, I know of none so devoted.
You do? Ooh, behold, Sir Harcourt Cotley.
Aha, puss has broken cover.
Speak, adored, dearest Lady Gay, speak. Will you fly from the tyranny, the wretched misery of such a monstrous roof, and accept the soul which lives but in your presence?
Do not press me. Oh, spare a weak, yielding woman. Be contented to know that you are, alas, too dear to me. But the world would say...
Let us be a precedent to open up to society. A more extended and liberal view of matrimony.
How irresistible is your argument?
Every tradesman lives with his wife. It has become a vulgar and plebeian custom.
Oh, pause. I feel I cannot withstand your powers of persuasion. Swear that you will never forsake me.
Dictate the oath. May I grow wrinkled. May 2 inches be added to the circumference of my waist. May I lose the fall in my back. May I be old and ugly the instant I forego one tithe of adoration.
I must believe you.
Shall we leave this detestable spot, this horrible vicinity?
The sooner the better. Tomorrow evening, let it be. Now let me return. My absence will be remarked. Oh, do I appear confused? Has my agitation rendered me unfit to enter the room?
More angelic by a lovely tinge of heightened color.
Tomorrow night, 11:30.
Dans le jardin?
Have your carriage in waiting, and 4 horses. Remember, please, be particular to have 4. Don't let the affair come off shabbily. Adieu, dear Sir Harcourt.
Veni, vidi, vici! Hannibal, Caesar, Napoleon, Alexander never completed so fair a conquest in so short a time. She dropped, fascinated. Poor creature, how she loves me. I pity so prostrating a passion. I will return it. It is a duty I owe to society and fashion. I must rejoin the company. No one must suspect.
Whoop! Let me see. Spanker versus Courtley, Crimcon, damages placed at 150,000 at least.
I cannot find Gay anywhere.
The plaintiff himself. I must commence the action. Mr. Spanker!
Huh?
As I have information of deep, vital importance to impart, will you take a seat?
What's this? What's this? My dolly ensconced with that meddling man?
You have a wife?
He has, and she shall listen to this catechism. I'll conceal myself behind this drain.
Oh, allow me.
Compose yourself and reserve your feelings. Take time to consider. You have a wife. Yes.
Bound morally and legally to be your wife, and nobody else is in effect, except on your written permission.
But what has this to do with the...
Shush. Allow me, my dear sir, to congratulate you.
What for?
Lady Gay Spanker is about to dishonour the bond of wedlock by eloping from you.
What?
Yes, I thought you'd be overjoyed. Will you place the affair in my hands, and I will venture to promise the largest damages on record.
Damn the damages! I want my wife! I'll go and ask her not to run away. She may hunt, she may ride, anything she likes. Oh, sir, let us put a stop to this affair.
Put a stop to it? Do not alarm me, sir. It must proceed. It shall proceed, or I will bring an action against you for willful intent to injure the legal profession.
Oh, what an ass I am. Oh, I have driven her to this with all that damn brandy punch on the top of Burgundy. Tell me, who is the vile seducer?
Sir Harcourt Courtly.
He is my best friend.
I should think he is. If you will accompany me, here is a verbatim copy of the whole transaction in shorthand, sworn to by me.
Only let me have Gay back again.
Even that may be arranged. This way.
Oh, that ever I should live to see my wife run away. Oh, I will do anything. Keep 2 packs of hounds. Buy up every horse and ass in England, myself included. Oh, lead on. Lead on.
Oh, poor Dolly. I'm sorry I must continue to deceive him. So, that Mel fellow overheard all. Well, so much the better.
My dear madam, how fares the plot? Does my governor nibble?
Nibble? He's caught and in the basket. I've just left him with a hook in his gills. But how goes it on your encounter?
Bravely. By a simple ruse, I have discovered that she loves me. Come, sit beside me in the alcove and I'll uncover all.
What's this? I've stumbled on conspiracy. And Gay a part of this plot. I'll tuck myself behind this handy screen. I must know what's afoot.
Now, I have arranged to elope with Sir Harcourt Courtly myself tomorrow night.
The deuce you have!
Now, if you could persuade Grace to follow that example, his carriage will be waiting at the park. Be there a little before 11, just in time to prevent our escape. Can you make her agree to that?
Oh, without the slightest difficulty, if Mr. Augustus Hamilton supplicates.
Success attend you. Now, quickly, let us go and make our preparations.
I will bend to the haughty Grace.
Do.
Oh, will you?
Sir Harcourt.
Is my chariot in waiting?
For the last half hour at the park wicket. But pardon the insinuation, sir, would it not be more advisable to hesitate?
No, hesitation destroys the romance of a faux pas and reduces it to the level of a mere mercantile calculation.
What's to be done with Mr. Charles?
You, Cole, must return him to college. Pass through London and deliver these papers. Here is a small notice of the coming elopement for the Morning Post. This, by an eyewitness, for the Herald, and the full and circumstantial account for the Evening Journal, after which, meet us at the Hotel Anglais, Boulogne-sur-Mer.
Very good, Sir Harcourt.
Lose no time, and Cole...
Sir...
Don't forget to distribute a few copies amongst very particular friends.
It shall be done.
How many roses will fade upon the cheek of beauty when the defalcation of Sir Harcourt Courtier is hinted, then whispered at last, confirmed and bruited? Then, on my return, what awe, what power, what sovereignty. Let anyone think of treason, I'll cut him. I'll put him out of fashion. I'll banish him from the West End.
Sir Harcourt!
At your feet!
Oh, I had hoped you would have repented.
Repented?
Have you not come to say it was a jest? Say you have.
Love is too sacred a subject to be trifled with. Come, let us fly.
My courage begins to fail me. Let me return.
Impossible.
You will never desert me.
Desert? Oh, heavens! Nay, do not hesitate. Every moment is laden with danger. Come.
Oh, gracious.
Hush! What is it?
I have forgotten. I must return.
Impossible.
No, I must. I've left Max, a pet staghound, in his basket, without whom life would be unendurable. I could not exist.
No, let him be sent after us in a hamper.
In a hamper? Remorseless man! Go, you love me not. How would you like to be sent after me in a hamper? Let me fetch him. Hark, I hear him squeal. Oh, Max! Max!
Hush! For heaven's sake, they'll imagine you're calling the squire.
Come, Springer. Middle. James.
Voices. Discovered. Unpleasant. I'll hide.
Ah!
Ah!
Ah! Spanker versus Courtly. I subpoena every one of you as witnesses. I have them ready. Here they are. Shilling apiece.
Well, where is Sir Harcourt?
Yes, where is your defendant?
Aye, where is your defendant?
Mr. Harkaway, do you seek Sir Harcourt and place a hand on his shoulder? The plaintiff and I will secure our affidavits.
Ah, at once, Mr. Middle.
Yeah, oh, Dazzle.
Dazzle?
What's afoot?
Villainy, sir. Villainy and rape.
Oh, good.
Now, Mr. Spanker, take my advice. Mind the notes I've given you and remember your gender.
Yes, all right. Now, madam, I have procured the highest legal opinion on this point.
Here.
And the question resolves itself into a... what's this?
A nutshell.
Oh, yes, we are in a nutshell. Will you unconditionally subscribe to this statement and respect my requests, desires, commands, orders, imperative, indicative, injunctive, or otherwise?
Upon my life, he's actually going to assume the ribbons and take the box seat. I must put a stop to this. Mr. Spanker, yeah. I've been insulted by Sir Harcourt Courtly. He tried to elope with me. I place myself under your protection. Challenge him.
Challenge? I must consult my legal adviser, Mr. Middle.
I smell powder.
Sir Harcourt would rather run than fight.
My dear madam, command my services. Can I be of any use?
On the subject of challenge, no, impossible.
What has an attorney to do with the affairs of honour? They're out of his element. Mr. Spanker?
Mr. Spanker, I am determined. I insist on a challenge being sent to Sir Harcourt Courtly. Oh. And mark me, if you refuse to fight him, I will.
Don't! Take my advice, you'll incapacitate yourself.
Mr. Meddle, hold your tongue. Mr. Spanker?
Mr. Spanker?
Mr. Spanker?
Mr. Meddle, unless you wish me to horsewhip you, go home.
That is assault and bestiality.
Without witnesses, it's rough justice. Be off.
Be off. Be off.
You are thieves, vultures, and ramping lions.
Now vanish, Meddle.
And that is necromancy.
Vanish!
Now, sir, where would you like this party of pleasure to come off? We could order half a dozen of that Madeira and a box of cigars into the billiard room, so make a night of it. Take up the irons every now and then, string for first shot, and blaze away at one another in an amicable and gentlemanlike way. Does such an arrangement coincide with your views?
Perfectly.
Then I'll pen you something sulphurous in the library.
Gay, I don't believe you really meant to run quite away.
I say I did. And if it had not been for your unfortunate interruption, heaven knows where I might have been by this time. Now follow Mr. Dazzle, Dolly.
Farewell, base, heartless, unfeeling woman.
Ah. Well, so I am. I am heartless, for he is a dear, good little fellow, and I ought not to play upon his feelings. But upon my life, he sounds so well up at concert pitch that I feel disinclined to untune him. Poor Dolly. I didn't think he cared so much about me. I'll put him out of his pain. Dolly! Dolly!
I have been a fool, a dupe of my own vanity. I shall be pointed at as a ridiculous old coxcomb. But I will prove that I am neither too old to repent my folly, nor such an ass as to flinch from confessing it.
Sir Harcourt, may I be permitted the honour of a few minutes' conversation with you?
With pleasure.
Have the kindness to throw your eye over this letter.
Situation. My wife. Apology. Expiate. My life? This is intended for a challenge from Spanker.
I hope that no previous engagement will interfere with an immediate reply in propria persona.
Oh, I shall be happy to meet Mr. Spanker at any time or place he may appoint.
Ah, the billiard room is to be the scene of the action. Will you accompany me?
Lead on, Dazzle. Lead on.
Give you joy, girl. Give you joy. Sir Harcourt Courtly must consent to waive all title to your hand in favour of his son, Charles.
Oh, indeed. Am I a transferable cipher in the family of Courtly? Huh? So then my fate is reduced to this.
to sacrifice my fortune or unite myself with a worm-eaten edition of the classics.
But, Grace, consider to retain 15,000 a year. Now, tell me honestly, would you not rather have the lad?
Why do you ask me?
Look, I'm an old fella. Another hunting season or two, and I shall be in at my own death. I can't leave you this house and land because they are entailed, but I have a little box with my Grace's name upon it, where, since your father's death and miserly will, I have yearly placed a certain sum to be yours should you refuse to fulfil the conditions prescribed.
My own dear uncle.
Oh, you little rogue. What are you crying about? Come, will you have young Courtley?
Oh, Max.
Huh? What's amiss with you?
I'm a wicked woman.
What have you done?
Everything. I thought Sir Harcourt was a coward, but now I find a man may be a coxcomb without being a poltroon. He's going to blow my dolly's brains out in the billiard room.
The devil!
Just when I imagined I'd got my whip hand of him again, out comes my linchpin, and over I go.
Oh, I'll soon put a stop to that. A duel under my roof. I'll shoot them both.
Oh, Dolly, if you allow yourself to be shot, I'll never forgive you, never. Oh, he's a great fool, Grace, but I can't tell why. But I'd sooner lose my bridle hand than he should be hurt on my account.
Sir Harcourt,
tell me
what has happened.
Tell me, have you shot him? Is he dead, my dear Sir Harcourt? You horrid old brute, have you killed him? I shall never forgive myself. Where's my dolly?
Do me alarmed, I beg. Your uncle interrupted us, discharged the weapons out of the window.
Oh, thank heaven!
Out of my way, Sir Harcourt. I cannot bring myself to speak to you. I locked the challenger in the library to restore his equilibrium.
Are you not sure the woodwork will stand it, sir?
What?
He'd be coming at it like the Spanish Armada.
Oh, Lord.
You best come, sir.
Oh, very well.
Miss Grace, to apologize for my conduct were useless, but reparation is in my power, and I not only waive all title, right, or claim to your person or your fortune, but freely admit your power to bestow them on a more worthy object.
This generosity, Sir Harcourt, is most unexpected, but may I still beg a favor?
You claim anything that is mine to grant.
May I beg that the contract between us may, to all appearances, be still held good?
Certainly, although I confess I cannot see the point of your purpose.
Oh, what a night! Spanker's knocked himself clean out, and I've brought the lad.
Thank you, Uncle, but the trouble was quite unnecessary. Sir Harcourt holds by his original contract.
The deuce he does!
And I am willing, nay, eager, to become Lady Courtley.
The deuce you are!
But, Sir Harcourt...
One word, Max, for an instant.
Can this mean? Can it be possible that I have been mistaken? That she is not in love with Augustus Hamilton?
Now we shall find how he intends to bend the haughty Grace.
Madam, miss, I mean, are you really in earnest? Are you in love with my father?
No, indeed I am not.
Are you in love with anyone else?
No, or I should not marry him.
Then you actually accept him as your real husband?
In the common acceptation of the word.
Why do you marry him if you don't care about him?
To save my fortune.
Mercenary, cold-hearted girl. Were you never in love?
Never.
Oh, what an ass I've been. I heard Lady Gay mention something about a Mr. Hamilton.
Ah, yes. A person who, after an acquaintanceship of 2 days, had the assurance to make love to me, and I...
Yes, well...
I pretended to receive his attentions.
It was the best pretense I ever saw. Yet you seemed rather concerned about the news of his death.
What can I say? Ah, but my maid Pert's brother is a postboy, and I thought he might have sustained an injury, poor lad.
Damn the postboy. Madam, if the retention of your fortune be the plea on which you are about to bestow your hand on one you do not love, and whose very actions speak his carelessness for that inestimable jewel he is incapable of appreciating, know then that I am devotedly, madly attached to you.
Why, you never saw me until last night.
I have seen you in imagination. You are the ideal I have worshipped.
Since you press me into a confession, know then, I did love poor Augustus Hamilton. But he is no more. Pray, spare me, sir. Here comes your father with my uncle.
She loves me.
And oh, what a situation I'm in. If I own I am the man, my governor will overhear and ruin me. If I do not, she'll marry him. Oh, what is to be done?
Where have you put my dolly? I've been racing all round the house. Oh, tell me, is he quite dead?
Gay, rein in a little. I'll have him brought in.
My dear madam, you must perceive this unfortunate occurrence was no fault of mine. I was willing to offer any apology.
I know. There was no apology required. 'Twas I that apparently seduced you from the paths of propriety. 'Twas all a joke, and here's an end of it.
Oh,
if he had but lived to say, I forgive you, Gay.
So I do.
He's alive.
Of course I am.
Of course he is.
Oh, I'll never hunt again, Dolly, unless you wish it. Sell your stable.
No, do what you like, say what you like forevermore.
Oh, hold. Be not so rash.
You may destroy those papers. I have altered my mind, and I do not intend to elope at present. Where are they?
Well, as you seemed particular, Sir Harcourt, I send them off by mail to London.
Why, then a full description of the whole affair will be published tomorrow. Oh, my God.
No, sir. No, sir.
Now then. My client, Mr. Isaacs here, has a word or two to say.
Young Mr. Courtley, you will excuse my performance of a most disagreeable duty. I must beg the honor of your company to town.
To town?
Why? What for?
For debt, Sir Harcourt.
Debt?
Debt? Impossible. There must be some mistake.
Not the slightest, sir. Judgment has been given in 5 cases.
Isaacs, how are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. Mr. Meddle, if I might have a word with you in private.
Do you know him?
Oh, intimately. Distantly related to his family. Same arms on our escutcheon. Empty purse falling through a hole in a pocket.
Now, Isaacs, I thought there was a mistake. No, to your misfortune, that Mr. Hamilton was the person who you dogged to Oak Hall, between whom and my son a most remarkable likeness exists.
No, to your misfortune, Sir Harcourt, that Mr. Hamilton and Mr. Courtley are one and the same person.
Charles?
Concealment is in vain. I am Augustus Hamilton.
Hang me if I didn't think it all along. You're no son of mine.
Gentlemen, I surrender myself to your custody. Take me away.
Stay, sir. Mr. Charles Courtley is underage. Ask his father.
I won't pay a shilling of the rascal's debts, not a sixpence.
Come, Mr. Courtley.
Then I will.
Madam,
where's James?
Here, sir.
Kindly accompany Mr. Isaacs to the library and see him well settled.
And then, Mr. Isaacs, you may settle with me for bringing this affair to your advantageous conclusion.
You, sir?
Why, yes, without my interference.
You're lurking and eavesdropping.
What was that?
Your keyhole conspiracies.
Without me, Isaacs, you could not have found these dishonest, cheating, and fraudulent young pups.
Would you repeat that, Mr. Meddle, slowly?
Oh, damn. I know.
I think a good kicking is in order here.
What did you do?
So, sir, it appears you have been leading covertly an infernal town life.
Yes, father.
None of your humbug, sir. He is my own son. How could I expect him to keep out of the fire? Well, it would be useless to withhold my hand there, boy.
Thank you, father. But there is one thing more.
What more could you want?
Your blessing, father.
If you please, father.
Oh, the mystery is being solved. So, you young scoundrel, you've been making love under the rose.
He learnt that from you, Sir Harcourt.
Now, the will says if Grace marries anyone but you, her property reverts to your heir apparent. And there he stands.
Make a virtue of necessity.
I married from inclination and see how happy I am. And if ever I have a son...
Hush, Dolly dear.
Well, take her, boy. Although you are too young to marry.
Excellent.
Am I forgiven, Sir Harcourt?
Why, have you really deceived me?
Can you not see through all this?
And you still love me?
As much as I ever did. Come, Dolly, take me home.
Good night.
Poor little spanker.
Now, one point I wish to have settled. Who is Mr. Dazzle?
A relative of the spankers, he told me.
Oh, no. Dear connection of yours.
Oh, never saw him before I came down here. Huh? Charles,
Who is Mr. Dazzle?
Dazzle? Dazzle? Will you excuse an impertinent question, but who the deuce are you?
Oh, certainly. I have not the remotest idea.
How, sir?
A simple question, as you may think it. It would puzzle half the world to answer. One thing I can vouch. Nature made me a gentleman. That is, I live on the best that can be procured for credit. I never spend my own money when I can oblige a friend. I'm an epidemic on the trade of Matela. For further particulars, inquire of any sitting magistrate.
And these are the deeds which attest your title to the name of gentleman? Charles, permit me, as your father, and you, sir, as his friend, to correct you on one point. Barefaced assurance is the vulgar substitute for gentlemanly ease. The title of gentleman is the only one out of any monarch's gift, yet within the reach of every peasant. It should be engrossed by truth, stamped with honor, sealed with good feeling, signed man, and enrolled in every true young English heart.
Hear! Hear!
Yes, that was money well spent. How much did we take?
£46, 12 shillings and 11 halfpence.
What? Is that all?
Afraid so, sir, but well received, sir. Mm. It was well received.
Who can we dispense with?
Oh, sir.
Read me the cast list.
Sir Harcourt Courtly, Mr. Daniel Massey. Lady Gay Spanker, Mrs. Elizabeth Spriggs. Max Harkaway, Mr. Paul Daneman. Grace Harkaway, Miss Samantha Bond. Charles Courtly, Mr. Reese Dinsdale. Mark Meddle, Mr. Trevor Peacock. Dazzle, Mr. Jeremy Northam. Adolphus Spanker, Mr. David King. Cool, Mr. Nigel Carrington. Pert, Miss Susan Sheridan. Martin, Mr. Nicholas Murchie. James, Mr. Matthew Sim. Solomon Isaacs, Mr. Peter Penry Jones. It was adapted and directed by Miss Sue Wilson.
Fire her.
Fire the director?
Well, the show's on. Saves the salary. Oh,
there'll be trouble.
What's on tomorrow?
The Silver King, sir, with Mr. John Dutine and Miss Frances Barber.
Excellent. I look forward to that.